The title of this morning's message is short message here this morning. I want to welcome all those viewing through Facebook as well. We welcome you. God bless you. If anybody's here for the first time, we welcome you here this morning to the house of God. The title of this morning's message is Last Day Decisions. Last Day Decisions. Last Day Decisions. There's coming a time right around the corner where no matter how much we know, it ain't gonna cut it. We're gonna fall short. Which side of the tracks you live on? Both sides of the tracks are gonna need the Lord. How many can sense that we're living in the last days? And if that is the truth, we need to have solid last day decisions that we make. And we need to ask ourselves this morning, seeing it the way the Lord would see it, the way He has written it, have our decisions been wise based on doing it the Lord's way? Have we been making wise decisions lately? And we got to be honest with ourselves, amen, because the times that we're living in right now are real. Times are real right now. There needs to be an urgency within your life, within your spirit that says, my decision making needs to become better. They need to become greater in the things of the Lord. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, the Bible reads, this is in the real beginning, when He created man and woman there within the garden. The Bible reads, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them male and female. He created them. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We love You. Give You all the glory and all the honor. I pray that You grab a hold of each and every one of us, Lord, on this beautiful Sunday morning, Lord, that we would get to a place within our lives to make wise decisions based on what You say. In Your precious name we pray. And we all say in one accord, amen. Amen. Here we find that God created man and woman not only in His image, but in His likeness. Amen. A lot of times when we look at the word image, we can look at it as looking like someone, the image, what we look like on the outside. And the truth is that God is spirit, amen? And when we look at the word that He created us in His image and likeness, amen, it really resembles in who He is and what He does, that He would want us to be like. Not so much in what He looks like. And I believe too many times we get caught up in what we look like when God has called us and created us, amen, in his own image and likeness. It really represents here this day dealing with his attributes and what he does and what he's wanting to do. It's what he's wanting us to reflect and be about. We read here in these opening verses also that he has given man and woman charge over all the animals of the air, the sea, of the ground. He has given us a great authority. You and I here this day have been created by God, not only in his image and likeness, but he has given you and I a great authority to operate in, a great authority to make wise decisions, a great authority, a power and wisdom and knowledge he has given us, that in no matter how tough times get, that we can be Christ-like, and no matter how much darker times get, that we would be able to still see in the light of God's word and still be able to be directed by God, because he's in full control right now. And he's wanting to give your life and my life here this day an inward power of authority, that when the circumstances arise, that you're able to make the right decisions, not based on the way you see things, but based on the way God sees things. I believe a lot of times we fail because we do things the way we feel it should be done. We do it this way, then the other person's doing it that way, and the next person's doing it that way. When there's one word, one set of instructions, one God. And he's wanting to give your life here this day an assurance. Because the days we're living in right now, there's not too many things that we can be sure of. They're going to be around much longer. But there's one thing that we can rest and have peace about here this day, is that the Lord is in control. He's given us an authority, a power to make wise decisions. He's given us the blueprints to life, amen, to heaven, to everything we need to use our authority correctly in Christ. You and I have a great authority. It's when we don't use it the way God wants us to use it that the authority of the world, the authority of the enemy, takes us bondage into captivity, where we're not being able to see what God wants us to see. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 through 24, the Bible says, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him. Go back to that verse, please. Since you have heard about Jesus, how many have heard about Jesus? And have learned the truth that comes from where? The homeboy, the homegirl? No, the truth that comes from him. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Who came with an attitude today to church?
I really don't want to go.
Go back to the last verse. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes with an S on it. Go to the next verse. Put on your new nature. Created to what? To be like God. He spoke it in the real beginning in the book of Genesis that I opened up with. And here now in the New Testament, amen, we're being reminded that we were created to be like God. Truly righteous and holy. There's something I put here in my notes about hearing the truth that comes from God. See, there's a truth that comes from the world that's a lie, that deceives, because it sounds like the truth. But the place it came from wasn't God. There's something about hearing the truth that comes from God. I put here that allows us not only to know that we've been living a lie. See, on my first service coming out of prison over 23 years ago, on the back row, the truth would start to get preached. And all of a sudden, I didn't know why I was in the building. The people were weird. Everybody was weird. I was the only cool guy in the church. Nobody understood anything. I was up on game. And all of a sudden, when I thought I was in control and my life was okay, even though I had just come out of prison doing many years, the truth started to get preached. And because the truth was coming from God, all of a sudden it started dealing that I was living a bunch of lies. All the years of my existence, what I stood on, what I believed in, as the truth was coming from God Himself through the messenger called Pastor Herb, my pastor, of 20 years, all of a sudden the truth would start to reveal that I was living a lie, that I was being deceived by the work of the enemy. But I needed to hear the truth, even though it was calling my life one big lie. And for the first time in my life, truth was coming through my ears. It was going into my heart, and something started taking place within my life, because now truth was able to expose all the lies within my life. And the reason that I didn't have victory and had a so-called victory, my life couldn't be too victorious if I had just come out of prison for the second time. And I believe too many times we can get caught up in thinking we're doing okay, when the truth is we could possibly be getting deceived of the work of the enemy that it wants you to allow you to think that you're living by truth. The Bible says that the truth will set you free, free indeed. As I heard that first message over 23 years ago, something happened, because there was a truth, not just any ordinary type of truth, but a truth that was coming straight from God into my hearing, into my heart, where all of a sudden, something new was taking place. All of a sudden, I knew I was being deceived, and I had been living a lie. There's something about hearing the truth that comes from God that allows us not only to know we've been living a lie, but by doing it the Lord's way, He's able to change us. See, I believe all of us here, those viewing through Facebook, have heard of the Lord, have heard the truth, and we've been challenged, amen, to change the way we've been living, to throw away the old way of doing things, because we've been created to be like God in His image and likeness. We've been created to have authority in these end times that we're living in. There's people that are counting on our lives to be centered in Christ, to be centered in the truth of Christ, to be able not only to be led by truth, but to lead others by truth. A truth that comes from God and not the way we see things. It's very important what we call truth in these end times that we're living in right now if we're going to be making wise decisions. See, wise decisions can only come forth from the truth that is of God. There's a lot of people making wise decisions in the world right now. But the question is it from God? Or is it the wisdom of the world? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible tells us, imitate God. Another word for let's be like God. Let's imitate what He wants, what He did, what He's doing. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. How many know when we first come to Christ that everything about us needs to be changed? I mean, everything needs to be changed. Your right needs to get pimped, amen? A makeover is needed. Not a tune-up, but an overhaul. Everything needs to change. When the truth that comes from God enters our ears and life and heart, we then and only then come to find out how messed up we really are. And the Bible tells us to imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. What's the purpose of imitating God in everything we do? We're His children. I know in our natural upbringing, in the family we were brought up in, some didn't even have fathers. Some had fathers that weren't good fathers. When it comes to speaking the truth based on God's word, many types of truth. Have you ever told somebody, I promise, man, I'm not lying. I promise. I didn't do it. I was lying last time, but I'm telling the truth this time. And we make the promises just to break the promises because we see truth not in the light of God's truth. I had a father that did his best. He was educated, from uneducated, became educated, along with my mother. Brought up in a beautiful home with acres in the country. Brought up in religion. From the real beginning. And I love my mom and dad because they did their best. And the error was not so much upon my mom and dad, but it was that they were never, because of religion, never taught God's truth. Religion at times will even teach God's truth, but it'll never require or ask you to apply God's truth. Religion is a good teacher, but a poor student. Religion has all the right scriptures to give you. And whatever you're facing here this day, but religion is something merely just preached, not expected to be carried out, to be done. So I don't blame my mom and dad for not being able to teach me the truths of God. And that was because we went to church every Sunday. All seven of the kids, all of us went to church. It wasn't if we had a decision whether we wanted to go, we had to go. See, religion will also make you go to church. I feared my dad so bad, I was going to church. And the truth was being preached, but preached in a way never expected to carry out. And anytime I speak or preach, it's with the expectation that you all are going to carry out the truth. Because the truth won't take you around the corner if there's no application to the truth. See, knowing the truth is not what sets you free. It's applying the truth what sets you free. How many want to be a child of the Most High? I want to be a son of the Lord. And because through His grace and mercy, I had the opportunity to not only hear the truth coming up in Victor Alvarez there in Salinas, California, I was able to hear my pastor preach the truth, but then I also was able, after the message was preached, to go to the streets and carry out the message in reaching out to the lost and the bound. I would carry out the message, and when it came time to give and being obedient to the message of truth. Because if I could be disobedient and giving all my money when I ran with the enemy, why couldn't I be obedient to the giving part and now running with the Lord? The application of truth here this day is vital for your life if you want to live a victorious life as a son or daughter of the Lord. We got to get so beyond knowing the truth, knowing what time it is, we call it in the slang language. Amen. Hearing the word of the Lord, amen, exposes the lies within our lives to do something about it. And the good news of the gospel here this day is that you're hearing the truth as children of the Lord to apply it, to apply what our Heavenly Father is saying to us today, not to be obedient to my life, but to be obedient to our Heavenly Father and to His word and instructions for each and every one of our lives. I'm not trying to force you to do what I want done. I'm trying to challenge you to do what the Lord wants done. And what the Lord wants done. A truth that is able to expose the lies, the deceit, the lust within your lives right now. It's one thing to be deceived of the enemy when we not know better. It's another thing to be deceived of the enemy when we know better. And to be deceived of the enemy when we know better just simply means we're not applying what we know better to do. That's all it means. It don't mean that you don't have the answer, that you'll never make it. It's just simply based on applying the truth. The good news here is this day that you don't have to stay the same. That your situation don't have to stay the same. That you can grow. Because here it says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. In other words, we need to grow in the love of our Father. We need to grow to imitate the likeness of our Heavenly Father. We need to grow as children. And a lot of times you can grow in head knowledge, but not grow because we're not growing as sons and daughters of the Lord applying the truth. A lack of application will always hinder from you growing from a child to adulthood and into maturity. And the problem is that there's a lot of immature Christians in the church. Immature Christians not being able to allow the truth to grow them and becoming mature Christians. Because it takes work. It takes changing your lifestyle, changing the way you're so accustomed and used to doing things. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days, translated end times. Amen? Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Verse 17, please. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Not your wife, not your husband, not your boss, not your children, not your boyfriend, girlfriend, but what the Lord wants you to do. What is it this day that the Lord wants you to do? Because whatever the Lord wants you to do is going to come with the truth. See, when the Lord calls his sons and daughters to do something, he's going to give you his word, his truth, his instructions. And the only way to accomplish what the Lord wants done in your life, in my life, in this end time world that we're living in, is by applying his truth. I thank the Lord that when the truth first entered my life, it became instant priority. It became an instant priority. My very first message, with a pack of smokes in my pocket, the word of truth became a priority within my life. It shook my heart and my life. It exposed that I was being deceived of the enemy. It exposed the plan of God that I could do so much better in what he wanted done in and through my life. The truth exposed what the gifts that God had placed within my life, the truth that so much it brought a light. The Bible says the word of the Lord is a lamp before our feet. It allowed me for the first time to be able to see what he wanted done. See, because I've been so used to running with the enemy, running in darkness. See, you can be in darkness and fulfill the plan of the enemy. But if you want to fulfill the plan of God, you're going to have to walk in the light of His Word. His Word is going to have to become vital and be put as priority in your life. Because there's coming a time right now when you're going to get home at night and walk in and turn the light switch on, and it's not going to work. The lights are not going to come on. There's coming a time where the light switch, the light bulb, is not going to be sufficient in bringing the light that you need. The Bible says that everything is going to perish, that the only thing that's going to remain is His truth. Those that are going to make it are the ones that are going to have His truth. And too many times we put as not a priority what is priority numero uno. It's a number one priority within our lives. In understanding what the Lord wants you to do. He speaks through His Word. Yeah, He can use the pastor, but using His Word. I warn all of us that are here, those viewing through Facebook, that there's coming a time when the wisdom of the world, money, him or her, is not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it. There's going to be a lot of Christians that are going to start taking crash courses in knowing who God is. Crash courses, I mean, they're going to, who is he, who is he, who is he? He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. When you can start today, prepare yourself with God's truth and be able to be that light for others that don't have the truth, and saving them by the light, saving them by the word of the Lord. It's important that we make the most of every opportunity in these evil days that we're living in, and making wise decisions if we're going to do what the Lord wants. $200 for the bonus question. What does the Lord want? To save souls. At the end of the day, I tell the leadership over and over, everything we do, even the crazy stuff we have to do, at the end of the day, it's for saving souls, for bringing people to the light, to the truth, bringing people to the Lord. I want to be one of those men that when it gets bad, I will be able to give God's word to everybody and say, you're going to take it or not? You want it or not? Take it or not? I want to be able to be one of those men that in the end times, I'm able to save any walk of life by giving them God's truth and allowing them to be set free. I want to have not just the given authority from the real beginning of time unto my life, but I want to be able to operate in that authority, saving people that have been living an evil life all their life, and from one day to the next day being in the light of Christ, in the promises of God, in the truth of God, knowing what the Lord wants you to do. It's going to be a sad day where many of the people of the church are not going to know what to do, when we should be the experts in knowing what to do according to God's plan. We should be those that are going to be saving people in these end times that are right around the corner, based on God's truth and what He wants us to do. But sad to say, because of religion, many in the church are not going to be able to be used, because they just knew the truth and they never was walking in the truth. Our image and likeness got to be of the Lord if they're going to listen to us. You can't be living like the world and expect people to listen to you and how good Jesus is, and that He can save you and cleanse you and wash you, when it hasn't even taken place yet in your life. I want to envision you all here this day, as I did the men last night. I thought the men should get it first. And it's stuff that we've been hearing through the measure that I've been throwing little to see who listens. But as of, there was a delay with the school and the city of West Allis and the permits and all that, and the architect over and over and over, and finally all the architect things that need to be done got approved. Then we just needed the contractor to go in with the electrical license and the HVAC license for heating and the furnaces and everything. And then that took a few weeks, and Steve from our very church finally listened to my instructions and what I wanted done, even though he was the professional in the field. And as of about 2 or 3 days ago, all the plans for the contract, the electrical and the furnaces, everything has now been approved. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. For us to start this coming week, and placing brand spanking new furnaces by the finances that we raised here in the church that came from almost everybody. Amen. I thank everyone that has partook in that, because it takes great finances to do what we do and what God wants done. It takes great finances. I was sharing with the men last night that usually when a business starts, the owner wants great employees, great workers that are going to be able to do the job, that are going to be able to learn the job. And that's why if you want a job, you got to do application after application. You got to put all your work history. And they want all this stuff because they want to know who you are. And you can look good on paper, and then they want to be able to have a, what they call a, no, interview. Okay, you look good on paper, the resume looks good, but then the boss wants to see you face to face, because there's some jobs that calls for a face. Mm-hmm. So they have an interview with you. There's one spot open, there's 30 of y'all, they're seeing. And they want to make the best decision in picking the right employee for the job, because to run a successful business, you need good employees. And I said, within our ministry, the vision the Lord gave me when I first came to this city was not to build a church, but to build a rehab where men and women would be able to come, such as I did in California, lost and bound, and have a place not only to learn God's truth, but to apply God's truth and to be set free and used of God, to be able to do what God wants done. I said, when I was a director, until present day, when I would do the interview with a man wanting to come in the home, at the rehab we call it doing an intake, I would ask how old you are, what kind of addiction was it, well, you know, for how long have you been in this, you know, this and that, and have you been to other programs before, and the majority are so messed up, they get so mad that they can't even answer the questions. They're just like, they get mad and start talking rude on the phone, like, you know, what's up with all the questions? And I said, brother, if you can't deal with the questions, you ain't going to deal with the program, the rehab. And when I would do the intake, the majority of guys will lie and call and say things like, I haven't touched alcohol or drugs in the last 6-8 months, you know, I'm just looking for a place and all this stuff. And I know they're lying. And then I'll say something, hey, brother, if you really want in, I need to hear how bad you are. You're doing better than I am. I can't help you. We had one just this week, trying to sound really polished and on the phone with me and everything. He knew the talk. Told me how long he had been clean and sober, and I says, I knew him. He was a big troublemaker guy, high maintenance guy. And I says, no, you got to be really messed up if you want to come into our program. And he says, well, Pastor, well, the truth is I've been smoking crack. You know, I'm stuck on crack again. Now you want to tell the truth. But the greatness of our ministry is when I do an intake as the shepherd, the overseer of the ministry, I do the interview, the intake, and not wanting to see how good you are, but how messed up you are. The more how messed up you speak to me you are, the more I get happier in letting you in the program. What boss would pick the worst of the worst employees in building not just any business, but in building the kingdom of God? Who would choose a people like you and I? Who would be crazy enough to choose a people like you and I, all messed up with every problem you could think about? I shared with the men last night that the foundation of our ministry here is based off a rehab foundation. What you see, everything before you see, comes from a foundation of men that were all messed up. The worst employees ever. Couldn't keep a job. The only job they could keep was the devil's job. And some of them came so messed up, the devil didn't even want them no more. They were just bad devil employees. Our ministry started over 54 years ago as a rehab first, and has blossomed now to a worldwide international ministry. We now are no longer just a rehab ministry, but have blossomed now to having a church, having men and women that don't have to go through the rehab, that are hearing the call of God, answering the call of God, because that they have heard the truth. This is what God was able to do with the worst of Milwaukee's best. Because I remember I was one of those. I was a messed up individual. The Bible says I didn't know my left hand from my right hand. That's a scripture. I thought I knew better, but the truth was I was deceived with the lies of the enemy. The only part I believe I had right was that I was good looking. Amen? We're living in end times right now. The school is going to produce great finance. Tell your neighbor, great finances. Not little money, but great finances. Doing it the Lord's way. Doing it the Lord's way. And when you do it the Lord's way, you're going to get the Lord results. Lord results. Last day decisions right now. And there's only one way over there, and that's through the cross, through what Jesus did for your life and my life. So I'm excited that the work's going to start this week there at the school. We're going to be purchasing all kinds of furnaces, pipe work, duct work, and all that comes with a full heat within the school. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. We're going to start these empty booths that you see are going to have purpose now. And you real soon, you're going to see what they're going to be. And then the room over here is going to be a bookstore. And then the green room that we have back here is going to get pimped out. The best of the best. Because this is God's house. And we are God's children. And He's always wanted the best for us. And sometimes the world cannot give the best. And if it does, it does it only in the good times that are running out. But I believe God's wanting to do His best through a people that at one time were the worst of worst, that He was able to transform and change by His word of truth to bring about such a beautiful work from the worst employees ever that nobody would hire, that nobody would trust, that nobody would put up, that nobody would let in their house. I got here not knowing the city of Milwaukee, and within a month or two, I had 25 men in the home. One of them was Chava back there. He was one of them. The worst of the worst. I'm talking about you, Chava. To be able to prove and for all to know that He's able to do His best in the worst of people that believe in His word of truth. I believe too many times we get set free by the truth, but we don't apply it when it comes to helping others. That school ain't to help me. This church ain't to help me. It's to help others, the lost and the bound. And I challenge you, will you join me and the leadership in helping those that need salvation right now? You might be cool this Sunday, but there's coming a Sunday around the corner where you ain't gonna be cool. And there's a Sunday right now called today that others are ready to end it all. To end it all because of the pressure they're under right now. To end it all when they've been created in the image and the likeness of Christ. When they've been given a plan and an authority to be victorious. And they just don't know it because they yet not have heard the truth to what God wants to do in their lives. That's it. One message is all it took for me to come to the altars and allow the Lord to start changing everything about my life. See, there's some things that are taking place in your life right now that you don't want to talk about it because they're so personal. They need to be talked about. They need to be exposed. Because if it's not exposed in your timing, the times are going to expose you. where everybody going to find out what took place. Who? What? Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe. Get out of here. So I say, before the corner turns, that we come to the Lord here this day, not only for our own lives, but for those that are lost and bound out there. Our purpose here, my purpose in preaching, the purpose of the Lord was to save souls. The plan of the Father, I'm excited about it. But too many people are not living in God's truth, so they're operating in their truth and making it happen. There's places in California right now that are shutting down. They're open, but you got to have a card, a COVID card, to go in there and eat or to go watch the movies in the LA County right now. The conference now for the gang that they're having out there, they're asking to go to a conference place, you got to have a COVID or 3-day proof that you're negative. Times are changing right now. Nobody's wanting to be sued no more. So you got to take the COVID vaccine. One day or sooner or later, all of us are going to have to take it. And some of you might say, not me, Pastor. All right. You ask a couple of the NBA players and the football players. Rodgers.
Yeah.
These guys are multimillionaires, and they still had to bow down to be vaccinated. I preached this a couple of Sundays ago. You would think they're millionaires, that they could do whatever they want to do. Because this world has its rules and regulations, just like the Lord does. Just like the Lord does. I love each and every one of y'all, those viewing through Facebook. We're living right now, you can see it one of two ways, in very bad times or very exciting times to be the church, to be the light. I'm excited because I know we have the answer to pack out this place with a bunch of sinners like you and I, with a bunch of people, the worst of the worst, to do the best work for the Lord. To do the best work as we stand, as the worship team makes their way, please. I'm excited. I ain't the boss, I'm just the overseer. On paper, they call me the president. Look out, Biden. They call me the president of the corporation. I'm just a brother saved by grace, man. That allowed God to do what he wanted to do in my life. I allowed him to have his way in my life. I'll never regret it. Ain't no hard times bad enough to separate me from the call of God and what he has, simply by what he just did for me already. But I know he's counting on me right now. But there's some that he's counting on in here also right now. He's counting on you to come with it. Because you too have been saved by his grace and mercy. He giveth and taketh. He's speaking to some of you right now. He ain't angry, he ain't mad. He's still loving you. But he's saying, I didn't call you here just to attend service. I called you here to learn of me, to do what I want done in and through your life. That is not religion, that is the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Being able to carry out what he wants done, not only in the good times, but in the hard times. I want to be one of those men that can stand when the bullets are flying and people are falling and still be giving direction that comes from the Word of God. I want to be in position for that man, that woman, that young adult that don't know what to do, where to look. I want to be the voice for that person. I want to lead them unto Christ. I want to lead them unto heaven. I want to lead them unto fulfilling their purpose by living out the truth that Christ has for each and every one of our lives. There needs to be an urgency right now within your heart. I wake up with an urgency every day. Man, we got to do this. We got to do it. We got to do it. We got to do it. But I, by myself and with my expertise, can only go so far. I need the body of Christ of Victory Outreach Milwaukee right now to get on board in doing what God has called you to do. Whatever the song is.